Hi, my name is Johnny Lawrence, and welcome to another episode of Life Talk, the self-development podcast. Now, before I introduce today's guest, I would like to take a very genuine opportunity to say thank you to all of the listeners. The podcast has been going from strength to strength, and what started for me as the desire to speak to and record valuable conversations of learning and inspiration has become a vital part of my working and personal life, and a true passion project, if I'm completely honest. I'm also super grateful to all those that have given the podcast a five-star review and have left a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. Any reviewing, sharing on social media or messages and feedback truly means the world to me and helps the podcast get noticed. If anyone would like to do the same, I would love you forever. Now, on to today's guest. On this episode, I'll be speaking with business coach, consultant, and well-being coach, the absolutely inspirational Kiki Kirby. Kiki is also the host of the Kiki Kirby podcast. This episode is a roller coaster ride of self-development from start to finish. Kiki has what she calls a heart-centered approach and gives her beautiful views on values and beliefs, boundaries, limiting beliefs, and passes along some wisdom learned along her journey. So, without further ado, let's get to it. Hi there, Kiki, how are you?
Oh, hi, Johnny, and hello to all of your listeners. Thank you for having me on here.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I've really been looking forward to getting deep with you, as it's always nice to sort of like talk to another coach and to get other perspectives and share ideas. You know what it's like, I'm sure.
So. Yes.
So yeah, I've been really looking forward to it. But I'm gonna own up to our origin story. So I have a process through social media and email of getting in contact with people who I really would love to speak to on the podcast. And after a few times of doing this, I realized that a lot of the stuff I was writing in these messages or emails was the same. So I made a little template in my notes in my phone, and quite often I just copy and paste it over and then personalize it by, you know, putting people's names in, for example, and asking them about themselves and all that sort of stuff. And I sent a message to you, didn't I, Kiki?
You did. I can't even remember what you called me.
Well, I do, because it's like the biggest mistake I've made so far, like in the last few weeks. But I was so embarrassed because I got a wonderful message back saying, "Hi, Johnny, I would love to come on a podcast. However, my name is Kiki." Immediately, I was like, "Oh no, what have I done?" And I looked back and it said, "Hi, Jess."
I was Jess. Yeah. Oh.
And I've apologized profusely, but I will apologize again. And I've owned up to my mistake. There you go.
Oh, well, listen, you know, we all make mistakes, don't we? And it's all part of the journey. I think sometimes we don't want to own up to those mistakes, do we? Sometimes, which I'm sure we may talk about, but I accept your apology.
Thank you very much. I tell you something, you have taught me. I swear I will never make that mistake again. I really won't. So yeah, thanks for that lesson. That was very valuable to me.
We all do it, don't we?
Yeah, I think so. Especially when we're busy and we're not thinking and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, you're right. We are going to get into a bit of that today, because what the amazing thing about talking to a coach is we're going to talk about the real honest things that get in the way of moving forward, no matter what that is, whether, you know, it's personal life, business life, or whatever. But I mean, I feel like it's really important for us to start with you, because you have a sort of very unique, you know, tragic at points story. But I think, as you said, I've heard you say before, it's been a real driver in shaping the person you are today, which is an incredible person. So I wondered if you would be kind enough to talk about your story and to tell us about your journey.
Sure. So thank you, Johnny. And you are right. You know, often when you're in your journey or in your story, you don't really realize the impact that it's got on other people. And that was something when we spoke just quite recently, when you asked me to come on the podcast, and you were encouraged by my story. And I think sometimes you forget about your story. And so, you know, those that are listening right now, I just want you to know we've all got a story, we've all got a journey. And whatever I share is just there to inspire you to know that your life is worth living. So where do I begin? So I'm going to speak from the heart a lot on this podcast too, as Johnny and I have shared, and I said we can go anywhere in this in this podcast. So I am from Zimbabwe, and that's where I was born. So for those of you that don't know, it's in Africa, and it's not South Africa. Lots of people get it confused, and I'm Greek. And we grew up there, had a really great childhood. And then at the age of 13, a really tragic thing happened. My mum unfortunately passed away to cancer. And it was really shocking. It happened very quickly. I was 13 and my sister was 8. And my dad unfortunately had also lost his mum to cancer when he was young. So it was a really, really tough journey. And that then, you know, we all experienced grief in many different ways, which I'm sure we'll maybe cover on this. And it ended up, I was in high school. I didn't really like high school. If I had my time over, I'd do things so differently. And I then had the opportunity to come to England. And I came to England and I fell into the world of recruitment and HR, had an incredible career. I was a top performer. I just loved my job. I think I started on £11,000 when I moved to England. So it was just so, I don't even know how much that is now as a rate of pay, but I don't even know if that's even minimum wage, but maybe it is, not sure. But I had just made the most of the opportunities that were given. But I probably plowed into work to compensate for the grief that had gone on. And I didn't really understand grief. I didn't really show emotions. And then at the age of 30, which is about almost 9 years ago, I keep forgetting the dates. I'm sure, you know, whenever you're in your journey, you forget the dates. I experienced burnout. And it literally came overnight. I had been quite fatigued, but thought it was because of work. And then just had this burnout. Didn't want to be alive. Really suffered with my mental health. And you know, really didn't want to be alive, and actually it was just very painful in that time, and really, you know, tried to take my own life at points. So it was, you know, and you know, we won't go into all of that detail now. Well, we may do. I'm being open so we can explore there. And so I fought that journey, really, you know, had a spiritual awakening at that time, and decided to leave that career. And then I just bought a house, brand new house on my own at that time. And so it was all just so, you know, such a strange time, but I had to work through the grief of losing my mum. So processed through all of that and dealt with everything that I needed to deal with. And then I knew in my heart of hearts that I wanted to help people, but I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that was. And I decided to leave that career. Everybody thought I was absolutely crazy. I was leaving such a great career. I was earning really well. And then I contracted for a little bit. And then I decided to then go and do my coaching certifications and become a coach. So that was my journey, and set up my coaching and consultancy business. And then everything was going really well. And then 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer myself. So I was just like, oh my goodness. And actually I was just about to get married. And so I fought that cancer journey. And actually it is my, it's my 3 year anniversary coming up shortly that, which is in April, for those that are listening on this podcast. And I'm in remission and I'm well. So I guess that's a little bit of my journey, just in summary, as we kind of get started, of, you know, grief, burnout, cancer, and really that place of not wanting to be alive, but then fighting for my life too. So, which sometimes I can't quite get my head around. And it's quite deep, really. But that's a place to start, I guess. A little bit about me.
Wow. That was that's a lot to unpack, isn't it? Blimey. First of all, you know, you're remarkable. That's a lot to go through in a really short period of time. So to see you sat here looking so vibrant and cheerful is really wonderful. It's beautiful, in fact.
But
for those that might not understand, what exactly is burnout?
Yeah, good question. So burnout is exhaustion. It can be depression. It can be anxiety. It's where you just physically cannot move. You cannot, you've just got no energy. And it just feels like you are just stuck. And you don't even, you know, that force that you've normally had before, that fight within you just cannot happen. You just can't do it. So although your mind is saying you can do it, you just cannot do it. sleeping, non-sleeping, lack of sleep, just loss of life, just not wanting to do anything, be anything. Your food is affected, absolutely everything that I'm mentioning there, and more. For many people, it can be lots of different things. It could be you're at a crossroads, you feel like you just want to give up, you feel like there's no hope, you're embarrassed. It feels like you're the only person that's experiencing this burnout.
Wow. I mean, that sounds absolutely horrendous. I mean, and what do you attribute that to? Do you think that was just having a lot on?
I think it's a combination of lots of things. I think the first thing is that suppressed emotion for such a long period of time. I think that has been huge. So for me, that was 13 years until 30. So that is a long time of emotion to suppress. But I think also not really understanding how to process that, how to talk about that. That I think the pace of the career that I was in, I was a top performer. I kept pushing and pushing and pushing myself to be number one in the company, which I was, and my team was too. So I think that was also just that striving for hustling, that striving for pushing, that striving for no matter what, I'm going to keep going, keep going, keep going. I think it's also the pressure around you of, you know, like you're not going to find anything else out there like this, Kiki, keep going, keep going. You're doing good. You're doing good. I wouldn't say not necessarily having a good work-life balance in the sense of I played hard and I worked hard. So I traveled a lot. I had 4 holidays a year. But I guess it was some of the simple things like not enough breaks of rest in the day. So working through lunch breaks, working and eating at the desk, maybe skipping meals, maybe on emails till 10 o'clock at night, on emails 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, that type of pace of things, way too much stress that the body's under. So I think for me, it was a combination of a lot of those different things. And I think not really recognizing the signs sooner. So for me, probably 2 years before the burnout, I had started to recognize that I wanted a change, that I was bored, that I was looking for more meaning. And actually, I went on a leadership development program, Climbing the Alps, and that was incredible. But actually, I could have done with a coach. Like I had a couple of mentors, but they weren't, I needed somebody outside of my bubble, outside of my life, outside of my career, to be helping me, to be challenging my thinking, to be exploring ideas of what else is out there, what else could I do?
I can't even imagine the accelerated growth that you experienced in that time. I mean, to be sat here and to have gone through something like that, you must have really, really grown as a person. I mean, but saying that, I mean, how did you pull yourself out of that dark place? That sounds like a really hard thing to do.
Good question. So I think for me, it was getting the right help. So I had a lot of therapy. It cost a lot, but it was so incredible because we explored a lot of decisions about I want to leave this job and I want to leave this career and nobody around me supporting that decision. And so the therapy was really, really important. And actually, I just want to probably add on that is I didn't go out and choose to get that therapy. A ex-boyfriend of mine, who's a friend, he's a family, he was and is a family friend. He had sought somebody for me and said, look, I think you need to go and see this lady. She's worked with high performers. She's worked with, you know, burnout people like you. And he took me to her. So that was, you know, that was incredible because I wouldn't have known, I wasn't in that state to go and find that sort of help myself. I didn't even know that help existed. So that, I think my faith, I had just started going back to church at that stage. We grew up Greek Orthodox, you know, very religious, very rule-based, but I went to a Christian school. So I just started going to church, a church which is kind of evangelical. But for me, I started going to church and then my whole life was unraveling and it was just falling to pieces. So there was lots of questions for me about, well, if there was a God, why then was I experiencing all of this? Why did my mom die? All of those sorts of things. But actually my faith is what took me through everything. I used to read the Bible every day. I used to have people praying for me, which was just so incredible. I think just little things like small steps of, I'm just going to get dressed for the day. You know, some days I didn't even get dressed for the day. I'm just going to eat a little bit. I'm going to have a bit of soup. And just those little steps, which then actually then helped me also through my cancer journey. So lots of those different things helped me massively. And it was just a process. It was a process that I had to move through. And I think this is something that people don't tell you when you're going through these struggles is, you know, very often we want to avoid the struggle. Even in lockdown, we've all wanted to avoid it. But the only way through your struggle is you've got to move through it, because you've got to learn. It's going to teach you about your mindset, your resilience, your perseverance, your faith, who's there to help you, who's cheerleading, you know, all of those types of things. So I think that is probably what helped me the most in those times in my burnout.
Sounds like you really just really reassessed your life. And yeah. I think what I've worked with a few people with burnout, and a few things they've said in common is that when you're at rock bottom, or you feel as if you're at rock bottom, you start to build that foundation again and work your way up, you know, and to, yeah. you know, sort of create that new foundation, look around, question everything, and start mm-hmm. to really build and sort of question everything and start to identify, hang on a minute, I know this worked for me or served me 10 years ago, but I don't think I need this anymore. Or I don't think I want this anymore. Wow, that's phenomenal. Wow, just I didn't think we'd get so deep so quickly. I mean, it's quite a thing to hear. I had a wonderful saying the other day. Grief is love looking for a home.
Oh, wow. Grief is love looking for a home. Yes. And actually, I'm pleased you've mentioned that, because a lot of what I do is very heart-centered focus, which I'm sure we'll get there in a minute. Yeah. But if I look at, so having lost a mother figure very young, I've missed out on that kind of maternal love as such from a mother figure. And, you know, my sister and I still have going through journeys of that right now. And we're still in that journey. And it doesn't get easier. If anything, the more you unravel, the more you heal, the more, you know, all of those sorts of things. But I remember when I mentioned those 2 years before the burnout happened, I'd really started to buy lots of like love ornaments for my house, and my house was full of love. And that, I think, was the journey that I was going to go on for love, because I also hadn't really allowed a lot of love into my life. So I was very often my sister relates it to, you know, the Frozen. Who's the girl? I don't know if you watch it, but I'm sure our listeners will. Anna and Elsa, one of the sisters had a frozen heart. And often my sister would relate to me being like one of those sisters in those times, because I had a frozen heart. So I'd give out a lot of love, but I wouldn't allow the love to come in.
You have no idea how much I resonate with that. Sorry. Yeah. It's just, I totally understand that.
So happy for you to go there. Do you want to share a bit, or do you?
No, sorry. I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. So got all these hearts in my house and all of these sorts of things. And then started on that love journey. And that was then learning to love myself of who I was, you know, as that perfectionist of wanting to be number one. And when things weren't great, I then would feel terrible, and I've had to work on that massively. And I definitely feel like I'm well on that journey, and have been for a number of years. And I think cancer taught me that so much too. And
do you think that you sort of used to take validation and external places instead of learning to love yourself for yourself?
Absolutely, 100%. But I didn't know, Johnny, how to love internally. I didn't know what that looked like. Yeah. And so I had to go on that personal journey, because I didn't really learn that. You know, my mom taught us such incredible things like self-care and self-love, and she was in fashion and always took care of herself. So I kind of knew all of that, but it was some of the more practical things that I've learned as an adult. And as the journey I've gone on myself. So that's been interesting in itself. And then just learning to love myself, and learning to love the imperfections, and learning to love, you know, the ego drives us, doesn't it, so much. And I'm doing a lot of work in that space at the moment. And, you know, the ego is like, you know, you need to externally focus, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you must do this, and you should, and you ought. And then the soul is like, no, stop. Be well, calm, kindness, heart-centered, you know, all of those sorts of things. So it's been a journey in itself, and that love journey never stops.
No, I mean, one of the biggest lessons I've only recently learned, really, is, and actually I've known it for other people, but I don't know if people that help people, They always seem to be very good at seeing what others need, but pretty terrible at seeing what they need themselves. And yeah. I suppose what I've always seen in most cases, especially with the I work a lot with women. So I've seen it a lot in women, mothers, business owners, mm-hmm. and they neglect their self-care. And one of the things that I've seen really help people is putting your hand on your heart and saying, what do I need? Because quite often you're neglecting yourself in some way, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, you know, and especially if you're a high achiever, because you'll probably sacrifice most things to achieve what you think is important.
Yeah. And actually, just on that, there's a really powerful quote, and I don't think it's got a name or anything, but I've seen it in many places where it says the most neglected piece of any productivity plan is you, who's your most important asset. And I think that is so easy, isn't it, for us to be focusing on everything else, achieving. And I know where mine comes from. And maybe for those listening, it's about really identifying where that comes from. I know where mine comes from. It comes from not doing very well at school and feeling like I'm not good enough and you know, going over and we're going to learn. I'm just exploring whether I go into some other formal qualifications. Deciding whether I go to Bible college and doing a theology, or do I do something really focused on well-being even deeper? So, you know, like that learning never stops and those qualifications never stop. No. But as an adult, you always think, oh, I'm too old. Well, I never really thought that, but I know a lot of my clients do say that, oh, I can't retrain and I can't do that. But anything's possible.
The truth of it is, honestly and truthfully, if you believe you can do something, you most likely can. And obviously I'm not being facetious. If you believe you want to fly, maybe there's a way, but you know, most of the time, if you want to do something and you believe you can do it and it's realistic, I don't see why you can't. You know,
I agree. And there's that, I think it's a Disney quote, this one. It's you've got to dream it, you've got to believe it, and you've got to achieve it. But the belief systems that we've got is what holds us back. And I know you probably as a coach and me, we do a lot of work with beliefs and the beliefs never stop. I had some belief stuff come up recently and I'm like, I've already done work on these beliefs, but it's like the beliefs never, ever stop.
No, they don't. They really don't. And they evolve and they adapt and they're probably more adapting than we are as human beings. Yeah, yeah, they're determined to stay there, aren't they? You know, I have a lot of limiting beliefs that I have to work on every single day, you know, every single day without fail. Remarkable. You mentioned that, you know, you always knew you wanted to help people and you didn't know what that looked like, but it does seem as if you've chosen coaching, consultancy. What drew you into that area?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So I think just faith and just knocking on doors and seeing what, you know, surrendering. So it was quite hard because I think for the first 8 months when I didn't know what I was going to do, I was contracting at that stage, working. And I was like, what am I going to do? I want to help people, but what does that look like? Do I stay in the recruitment HR world, which I didn't really want to do, even though I still do stuff there in that consultancy space. I do, but the difference is it's on our terms and how we do things.
Nice.
And I remember seeing an old candidate of mine, and we were talking about her business. She owned a counseling business, and I was giving her some ideas about her business. And she said, oh, Kiki, why don't you look at coaching? And I was like, coaching? I said, what do you mean? And anyway, she told me about the certification that you could do. And actually, I'd already forgotten that I'd done lots of mentoring. I always used to mentor underperformers and coach other people in that space. Not, you know, I think also the word coach is obviously very misunderstood sometimes. There's a coach and there's a mentor. And I guess I'm talking a lot more about a certified coach who doesn't give advice, who has got the formal qualifications. Mm. And I remember going on this first 2-day event, and I was half an hour into this event, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is it. And I was just so inspired and I was so excited. So that for me was that first step. So I do a mixture of coaching and mentoring. I'll be honest, I do love pure coaching where it's no advice, it's no mentoring. I do love that, but I also do love the balance of mentoring too. And so that's what kind of led me on that path. And then the consultancy element is because of my experience of doing a lot of recruitment, a lot of people strategy, a lot of learning and development, that door is just always naturally opened and opened quite wide because of all of the people that I've worked with over the last 20 years. So I wouldn't say I'm in corporate day in and day out, but we're very selective of the projects that we get involved with, which could be anything from people strategy to leadership development, organizational development, employee engagement. And it's just so fulfilling in all of those areas.
Oh, that's really cool though, that you've managed to get the balance right. I never quite sure of the word balance. I like the word harmony, because I think balance implies everything is on the same level, when actually that's not always the right mixture, is it?
No, that's very true.
Like the word harmony. So you mentioned that you coach in a heart-centered way. What does that mean?
Yeah, so lots of people ask that. So I guess is whatever your meaning of heart-centered means to you. For me, it is really about making sure that you are evolving in a heart-centered way, that is, you're really focusing on your resilience, your perseverance, how you are more soul-led than you are ego-led. It's making sure that you are resilient. It's basically never giving up, basically. That's my version of it. But the really important thing is, it's about you identifying whatever that means for you, because obviously faith, spirituality, big for me. It's not big for many of my clients. So it's very unfair for me to then say to a client, right, where are you with your spirituality? Where are you with this? Where are you with that? And that's not what coaching is. Coaching is about you unlocking whatever's important to you, wherever journey you're on, whatever your belief systems are. But really, it's coming from a place of courage, of strength, of resiliency, of all of those really important things, the matters of the heart. But also, not just the heart, you know, the heart, the body, the mind. Like, without the heart, we will not exist. It's the strongest muscle we've got. I mean, you'll know this more than me because of what you do in fitness, you know, like well-being fitness. Is no heart, no human being. Mm. And so the heart is connected to everything.
Well, it's all connected, isn't it? And I mean, I got goosebumps when you explained your heart-centered approach, because that is the pure essence of coaching. That it is literally, it doesn't get any purer than that, you know?
Yeah.
And I really love that explanation. It was really nice to hear. Okay, so in your opinion, how important is purpose to self-development?
Good question. It's the fundamentals. It is the key. And I think, but I just want to say a few buts here, is I think sometimes when you're on the self-development journey, or you're questioning life, or you're questioning your purpose, your mission, what am I doing? It can feel so overwhelming. And so what I like to say to clients and people that I work with who are questioning that is, there is a purpose every single day. So there's a purpose in you getting up. There's a purpose in you nourishing yourself. There's a purpose in how kind you are. There's a purpose in your responsibilities. And I think sometimes, especially on the self-development journey, everybody's like, I want to know my purpose. How am I changing the world? What am I doing? But actually, you've got to go down here, and you've got to humble yourself, and you've got to be getting really clear about your purpose every single day. Because that big stuff is not going to happen until you're clearer here. On the bottom, like on the everyday stuff, the purpose in the relationships you've got, and the purpose in the work that you've got. You may hate your work, but there's still a purpose for it. You still need to do the work that you're doing. There's a transition through that. So I would say it's key to everything that you're going to do, but it's how you open up your eyes, how you open up your mindset. It's how you challenge your mindset through it. It's also the questions you ask yourself about your purpose, what matters, your values.
So what type of questions do you think start to get you down to it? Because it's interesting you use the word values, because my next question, and it might be the answer to the question, is how important is establishing your values and beliefs when it comes to self-development and striving towards success, or even just being forward focused? How important is that? You know, so I don't know if there's a relationship there between purpose and values and beliefs. What would you say?
Look, I think they are all key elements to the process. However, it might be for every individual, and this is the approach we take, that I take with clients, having learned how to deal with people through my HR and recruitment background, is you can't just start at purpose. Mm. You know, because some people, they're not quite ready to go to purpose. But actually, you might start with values. So what are you valuing? Or you might start with beliefs. So it just depends on where you are. Obviously, in an ideal world, you want to do them all in linear, in a linear approach. It doesn't always work like that.
No.
But they are key. And I think, you know, things like purpose, values, beliefs, mindset, heart, all of those heart-centered things, it never stops.
No, and they evolve as well, don't they?
And they evolve, which is, again, the fundamentals of what we do. You may, if you're listening to this on audio only, you won't see, but we've got a fundamentals also on the work that we do is evolving in a heart-centered way, which means developing naturally into a better, more advanced state, developing naturally, not forcing yourself, but developing naturally.
Yeah.
And so that's key. It's key to focus on evolving in that natural way, but it's a journey. So it's, you know, in an ideal world, it might be you start with values. In an ideal world, you might start with beliefs. In an ideal world, you might start with purpose. It just depends on what is the most pressing thing at this right moment that needs to be questioned straight away.
Yeah. I mean, I found in the coaching that I do that more often than not, people are working. I look at values and beliefs like the software that's loaded on a computer. If it's out of date, then the computer doesn't work properly.
Absolutely. Computer says no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sometimes the people are working out off of outdated values and beliefs, stuff that they adapted or sort of took on at another time in their life. And then values and beliefs were very important at that time. Yeah. But now they're not important, but they're still trying to run that program, you know? Yeah.
And so true.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. And I think, in fact, I want to ask you actually is, because this is something I ask a lot of our clients, is what's your number one value? If you could only pick one value, what would it be?
Honesty.
Oh, like it.
Okay. Yeah, honesty. My wife laughs because I probably take honesty to a stupid level, but I believe truthfully that, you know, if I stay honest and I do things in an honest way, that the universe will pay it back, you know. And yeah. I just think that you can avoid a lot of situations just by being honest, you know.
Yeah, so true.
I give honesty to people. I expect it back. Sometimes that expectation doesn't get met.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what it is, isn't it? You know, and these are things I've had to do for myself recently because, you know, I was working with outdated values and beliefs and it doesn't feel good. And you have that feeling like every day, something's not right. Something's not right.
It's not aligned.
No, it's a brilliant word, aligned. Because, and if you're not careful, you can start to go down a dark path because something doesn't feel right and you feel like you're going crazy. And then you realize that this thing that you thought was important isn't important. Matter of fact, you don't even like it anymore.
Yeah, you know, no, so
doing
true.
Doing it anyway, you know? So you can become really unhappy by doing things that make you unhappy.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for asking that. That's nice of you to ask. I mean, how have you found is a way of establishing your values and beliefs on a way to finding your purpose? Have you found that or?
Yeah, so I would say a regular check-in with there's a whole list, like we've got a document which has got all the values that are listed and really taking a look at them, which I'm sure you do with your clients too, but really, and for some people they'll know it already, like honesty or integrity or success or purpose or creativity or whatever that is. I think that's it's just that journey of asking yourself, so what are my values in work and outside of work? And actually writing a list, I would say of 10, and then narrowing them down to 5 and then really picking one. And it's interesting because years ago, my number one was success and achievement. Oh, goodness me. And it's over the years that has changed, you know, like my version of success looks so different now, you know, it's like well-being related. It's like how energetic, you know, how much energy I've got, how happy I am, how, you know, all of those sort of things. But my one value is spirituality, which has changed over the years. Really, really important. So that's what I would say. And to regularly check in with that. And you know, that uncomfortable feeling that you were just talking about of, oh, I'm not sure. I'm like, this is feeling a little bit icky, not feeling aligned. And I had a little bit of that last year. I've had to do a lot of this since I returned back to work from cancer and still on that journey now. On that phase of looking at your values is to keep checking in, because the more work you do, the more layers you un, you peel off the onion, the more healing you do, the more work you do on your well-being, on the whole you, the wholesome life. That's what I call it, the wholesome life journey that we're on. The more you're going to understand more about your values. So this work never, ever changes. I think starting there was probably a good place. Identifying 10, narrowing down to 5, picking one, and then deciding what is the transition that you're going to go through in order to align those values.
Lovely. Lovely. I mean, one of the interesting things I find are the values that people adopt. You know, the person that finds himself 25 years old, a solicitor, really unhappy, got all the money, got all the stuff, and they're really unhappy. And it turns out when you dig deep that they never ever wanted to be a solicitor.
Exactly.
And, that was that.
Exactly. You know? And that's connected to the beliefs, right?
Of course.
Thinking of, I can't make changes because this is just how it is.
And I don't want to disappoint somebody, things like that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is great conversation. Really enjoying this. So the next part of that would be, boundaries and the relationship between boundaries and the things before, because I think another thing that needs to come in for people a lot of time, I've seen a lot, especially women, I don't quite know why, but I wouldn't like to guess why say that, but boundaries seem to be a real problem for people. How would you define boundaries?
Yes. And I've just been doing some work on that too. Have with you? My yeah. coach actually only this week.
Okay.
How would I define boundaries? Something that is really important for you, of what you say yes and no to, and something that is there to protect you.
Lovely. Yeah.
In a nice, simple way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I would agree with. That statement is beautifully put. But it can get complicated, can't it? You know.
Oh my goodness!
And
yes.
It's quite often other people that make it complicated.
Yes. But that's where you, as the individual, I, as the individual, have got to be really firm with our boundaries. Of, okay, this is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm able to do. This is what I can say yes to. This is what I say no to. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no.
Nice. Do you think that comes from knowing your values and beliefs?
100%, but it's a journey. It's like, where do you even begin with some of this sort of thing? Especially if you've been in a, like, if I talk about like from a family perspective, and I'm sure we'll talk about work, I've always been a yes person in our family, having taken that role on as a young child to be the mother of the family. You know, I just took that role on. So it's always been a yes, Kiki can do this, yes, 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 yes. And that's been the heart, because often the boundaries are always challenged, mostly with the people closest to ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah.
So being the support and that type of thing. And then I guess also in work, of what you've always said yes to doesn't necessarily mean what you want to say yes to moving forward.
And people, they get you to say yes to something, so you move your boundary. And all they learn is that if I push, I can move that person's boundary.
Yeah.
And they keep moving it until you're in a place where you're like, how did they get here? Yeah. You know,
as well as respect. I think, you know, often for me, is respect is a big thing when it comes to boundaries. Is if I've said no, I've said no, don't keep pushing. Or if I've said yes, respect that I've said yes, and let's do what we've said we're going to do together. Yeah. But also that respect of, I've said yes, but actually I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that now for health reasons. It's going to have to be a no. I think that's something I've struggled a lot with, is just that pressure of, and it happened quite recently actually, where I, you know, it's been, my health has been challenging still, even now as I've returned back to work 3 years on, or 2 years on full time. But quite recently I felt a bit unwell on a Sunday, and I was thinking, oh goodness, I've got loads on in my diary this week. What's going to happen? And I kind of just got myself into a state, and then I thought, actually, it's fine. I will just reschedule, and my clients know that I've had cancer. They know I'm still recovering. It's okay. But I know where that belief came from. That belief came from my recruitment days, where it was like, you don't do sick. You never call in sick. You're never allowed to be sick. But I recognized that instantly. And I was like, nope, that's an old belief. Deal with that. That's not the truth. And move forward.
Love that. Absolutely love that. Good for you, man. That's amazing that you catch that, because that's the hard bit, catching it before you go off down a little rabbit hole.
Yeah, But the only way to catch that is, and sorry for all of you that are listening, there's lots of dogs that are barking right now. We've got to laugh about it because it's my neighbor's dog. And I've got two dogs. I've got a Springer who's my husband's dog, Digby, and Kisa who's my Pomeranian. So, you know, you can never plan these things. So excuse the dogs barking.
Hey, we know you'll understand. It's real life.
It's
real life. What can we do?
And actually my neighbor's dog and my dog, they don't get on very well often.
Oh, no.
But anyway, let's go back to this. I think, do you know why often we are not able to catch it? Because we are too busy. We're too busy hustling, too busy striving, too busy doing so many millions of things. And that's something I've definitely embodied the last 18 months is calmness and slowing down. And that's a lot of what I do with my clients is slowing down. So I know I'm more able now to hear when those things are coming up and popping up or when I know that I need to deal with it. But that's taken a lot of self-development work.
Oh, it does. I mean, I've been practicing pauses between.
Yes.
So I can learn how to respond instead of react, especially with children. Respond instead of react. Because I feel like when you react to something, it's like someone annoys you, they say something, that's when you say something you regret. And then you sit there later and you come up with the perfect response and you're like, oh, wish I'd said that. So I try really hard. And children, I've got two boys, and they can be masterful at pushing them boundaries. They are. It's like somebody taught them in the womb. they're amazing at it. So I love that you caught that because that's really hard to do. And actually, that's a real mark of development and growth, isn't it? I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you proud of yourself?
Yes, always, you know, always. Never used to be, I will be honest, I never used to be, but yes, I celebrate every little step. Just like how well we've, done as a business, how many lives we've changed, how well I'm doing with my fitness. That's been a journey to get back to. I'm just now thinking about doing a couple of maybe 10Ks, maybe 5K, because of where I had cancer treatment. It's not like my running isn't kind of where it was, but just small steps. I'm only starting to feel in the last 6 months that my strength is back. And so, celebrate all of those little steps, definitely. Because if we don't celebrate the small steps, how are we going to celebrate the big stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. And I mean, it's even things like your podcast. You don't know how much that's helping people. Podcast, you know, is lovely, and there's so many really great bits of wisdom in there, and I won't say advice because you're a coach, but there is a lot of wisdom, there's a lot of perspective, and I think that, you know, what I love is I know that, you know, it happened to me. I was listening to your podcast the other day. I was just driving somewhere and you said something and I was like, where's a pen?
Annoying. I know. And
you can never find it again, can you, either? So,
I know.
So, yeah, we talked about the relationship between values and beliefs and boundaries. But what about, do you think it's important to identify and challenge those limiting beliefs, those things that hold you back? Because you spoke briefly and touched on it earlier. But those things that, like, I'll use an example. When I was younger, I had a really, really, I had a very bad upbringing. I won't go into the ins and outs of it in this case. But my dad was very violent, very aggressive. I look at him like a trainer in creating limiting beliefs. He led me to believe that I was never good enough, that I was embarrassing myself, that I was stupid, that I was worthless, basically. And for a large part of my life, I just accepted that that was what I was until I kept showing myself. And a person asked me, they said, what is it you've got to do for you to believe tomorrow that you're worth it? Because I kept doing all these things. My thing was always this. If someone told me I couldn't do something, I would do it.
I love it. That inner fight. Resilient.
But the problem with that was sometimes I'd do stuff I didn't want to do just because I wanted to prove that I could. You know,
That's the ego, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And this is all the stuff that I've had to work on. I've had to work on this a lot. It was a big mixing pot, a big snow globe of of issues that all conflicted and intertwined, and I had to untangle that and get in there and identify what they all was and try and work with them. I'm not a believer of like getting rid of things. I think everything has its place within our body. Anger has its place, sadness have its place, grief has its place, but so does happiness, joy, peace, all these things have their place. And to remove any of them would be dangerous, you know. I'm a big strong believer in keeping all your emotions, and a good friend of mine talks about the paradox of emotions, and he uses the analogy of King's Cross Station and all of the trains being emotions, and they can all be in a station together. And I'm like, you sage.
Well, that's so important. And I think, you know, I can relate to certain things that you've said, not obviously the same upbringing, but you know, I can't even begin to imagine. I'm looking forward to having you on our podcast, but I can ask you so many questions because I think so many people need to hear more of these struggles to know that it's okay, that you can navigate through them. Yeah. And I think I love what you said there about having all of the emotions, because yes, it's not just about love, rainbows and joy. We have to feel all of those things. That's our part of our DNA. And something I like to ask lots of my clients is, what color is the state of your heart? Like if you wake up in the morning, because obviously there are going to be some days that it's happy and it's yellow and it's joyful. And there's going to be other days where it's gray and it's black and it's miserable, but it's identifying with that emotion of how you're feeling. Yeah. But just going back to that question about limiting beliefs, I think it's really important to challenge those beliefs, those limiting beliefs, when you feel you are ready to, because sometimes we aren't always ready. We aren't always ready to deal with them. We aren't always ready to approach them. We aren't always ready or in the right space to learn the skills that we need. Sometimes we don't get the right help and the right person. So I am very selective now on who and what support we get and I get for my limiting beliefs kind of work as such, because if you go to the wrong person or somebody that you can't quite relate to, that is a challenge in itself too.
I mean, would you be okay to share one of your limiting beliefs?
So I think where would I begin? I think the education one is right. Probably a big one is like I'm toying now whether do I like formal qualification of like going to university to doing a theology, like do I go full time? Do I like, what does that look like? And I'm very much exploring this at the moment, but that's a little bit like, okay, obviously I didn't do very well at school. So, and obviously, yes, I've gone on and further educated. Yes. But it's very different than if I was doing it like in our younger days. So that's a big one that I'm just going through at the moment. And I know that I can do it, but it's just working. How does that all look like? Will I be able to study? Will I be able to write the papers? My written English isn't amazing. My husband often is like, you know, Kiki, your grammar, check your grammar, check your grammar. And I'm like, I want to just be who I am. If somebody doesn't like my grammar, that's okay. You know, that all of that. So that's probably one of mine there. What else is another limiting belief?
I was going to ask, so what would you say to somebody that had that limiting belief? What would you say to them?
I would say you can do it. Put your mind to it. Look at everything else you've achieved and you can do this. Find the right people to do it with. Create a plan. Do your research. Because I'm a natural kind of high achiever of just going on and getting on and just doing. But I've learned over the last 5 years of being a business owner, you do your research. So I've been learning to do that. So I would definitely say that. But they pop up from time to time, you know, even quite recently with our podcast. I was like, oh my goodness, is this like I've waited for so long for it? But actually that was, you know, that very quickly after like episode one, I was like, this is okay.
You have nothing to worry about. You're nailing that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. Okay. So saying that back to you, you've just told me your limiting belief. Then you've just told me how to solve it. How do you feel?
Yeah, good. On fire. And actually just realizing that I'm doing all of those things anyway, actually right now anyway. So I'm doing my research and I'm exploring and it might not even be a door I go down. This might even just be part of the limiting belief process.
I think you're right. I think like you're absolutely right. As you say, you know, all this stuff, it just sounds like a bit of self-doubt, doesn't it? Like, which I think is kind of healthy to a degree, isn't it? Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It is. And actually, maybe this is a much bigger one, which actually I've not spoken about too much, but I think it could be relevant because I know you've got lots of ladies who listen to your podcast. Is being a mother has been a big one for me. Obviously experiencing losing a mom, and then I will be honest, like children have never been high on my list. It's always been career. And then having gone through my cancer journey, it's proved very difficult. We're going through fertility challenges. And so I've had to go on this journey the last couple of years, and I'm still in that journey now of, yes, I can be a good mother. Yes, I will be able to do this. Yes, work can exist and I can take time off. And so there's a lot of, I'm still unpacking some of that. I'm still working through some of that. Like, what does that look like? And I'm making lots of space of how we work and what we do. But that's been a big thing in itself too of, gosh, can I be a mother? Is it possible? What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, children, they change the game. I mean, I had my biggest mental health crisis when we had children, because it gave me a new perspective on being a father. I always thought that it was bad what happened to me as a child. But then when you become a father yourself and you hold your son for the first time, you're like, how could somebody, you know? It just adds another layer that I had trouble with, if I'm honest. So children can really change everything, can't they? mostly for the good, but there's some stuff that happens that sometimes you have to work through, as you say.
Yeah.
If you could go back to the Kiki of 10 years ago, what wisdom would you share?
Good question. I would say follow your heart. Know that if something is not making you happy or fulfilled, make some changes. Go and find somebody who can help you to make those changes. I would say stop working so hard. The money, it's not all about the money. And I earned really well. I had a lovely lifestyle. And what else would I say to her? Be careful of who you surround yourself with.
Oh, I love that one.
Wow. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
Careful who you trust. Another one, I would say. And I'd say just, you're doing incredibly well. Well done. Well done.
Based off of them answers, you've had some really hard times. Not sounds like you've been let down as well. Life can be cruel, right?
It can, and it's just learning. And I think, you know, the reality is, we will continue to learn and to be let down. But we've just got to remember that we are all doing the best that we can with the knowledge that we have and the situation we're in. And it's about that forgiving. It's about not controlling people. It's about not manipulating people. It's about not holding people to ransom. And I think, you know, it happens a lot in corporate life, that I see it a lot in people that I coach of, you know, you've got to perform X, Y, Z, and you've got to be this person. You've got to do this certain thing. And this is, you know, it's, this is what, this is, you know, we label. We label people. I've done it. One of my words this year is leadership, because I know, like, I'm a great leader, but I know that I've had to improve as a leader, as a team. My team gave me that feedback last year. So I was like, right, on it. You know, I've got a coach who's helping me with some of those key areas, and I've got to be the best leader that I can be.
But it's the fact that you want to that will make you a great leader. Most people have that. Well, not most people. Sorry, that's the wrong way of saying it. There are people that believe so wholeheartedly that they're a great leader, they will never try to be better. And it doesn't,
but that
sound...
will only take you so far. I think right. that's when a setback happens, a struggle happens, a redundancy happens, you know, something happens, because that's life. It's the circle of life. It'll all come round somewhere along. It'll come round that we have to take a look at ourselves and deal with it.
Yeah. Absolutely right. What mistakes have you experienced in your life that have taught you the greatest lessons?
Oh my goodness, so many. Where do I begin? Not doing enough research. I think that's probably the biggest one for me. Is that's also a real strength of mine, of just like full in making that decision, and I've almost already doing it. And actually not really taking the time to do the research of, okay, what's the detail? What are the consequences? And actually, I was walking this morning and I was thinking a little bit about this, of how can I do better in this area of what's the worst thing that can happen? And I never go there because I just think it's all going to be good and it's all going to work out. And the reality is it doesn't always work out the way that you want it to be. There will be some stumbles along the way. So I think that being too trusting of people, that's a big one. What else? Not focusing enough on my health and well-being, not listening to those signs a lot earlier on. What else? Doing too much. You know, even as I say this now, like there's so many things I want to do this year and I'm like, oh, I want to work less. I want to do less. So how does that all work out? I think hurrying back to work after cancer, that was a big mistake. And actually my doctor, my consultant and the psychologist I saw was like, Kiki, don't hurry back. And I hurried back to work too quickly, doing too many things. So probably those, and maybe not also, this has probably been a big one for me in business, is not just being very trusting of the people that we've done business with and not always getting the right support or what's been promised, and just thinking that everybody we're working with and doing business with matches the same values as us.
Yeah. I love all of them answers, because as we come to an end, I'm gonna sort of recap them. You said in answer to the question, what mistakes have you experienced in your life that have taught you the greatest lessons? And your answers were, do your research, be careful who you trust, look after your health and fitness, find harmony in your life or balance, whichever you want to pick, slow down and find the right support. I think they're incredible answers, absolutely phenomenal answers. I love that, really do.
Thank you. Yeah, some great ones then.
I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation and I'm really grateful. What do you think about gratitude?
Oh, I love gratitude. So it's one of the fruits of the spirit. It is something so simple. And actually, I designed a gratitude journal during my cancer journey. It was not part of the plan.
No.
And I just think I love it. I live and breathe it daily. I think there's so many things that we can be grateful for, that we need reminding for. And actually, that's another thing that helped me get through my burnout, that actually just mentioning that was, during that time, I would just be like, I'm so grateful that I've got food. I'm so grateful that I'm going to get through this. So yeah. Huge, huge, huge thing. I think it's a very underutilized tool again, and a utilized practice that people don't do enough. And just saying thank you to everybody else. Thank you to the person that who's let you go ahead of them in the car, or the grocery person at the checkout. And you know, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It doesn't cost a lot. This is something my husband does really well, is he'll always, when I've cooked dinner, he'll always be like, thank you for making the dinner, or thank you for doing this. Thank you.
He's a keeper.
He is. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. He is. We went to school together. So that's another story in itself. Very, very special way of how we reconnected. But don't get me wrong. He's also not perfect in many ways. But that's something I do. That's something I do love about him. Is
I think every wife would say the same thing, if I'm honest. I share this story with you. I can't remember where I heard it, but it was a story about a monk. And he asked a group of people in a room to tell him something that they feel they didn't deserve. Have you heard that story?
Oh, no, I haven't.
So the first person, the people sit and they contemplate, and one person talks about how they suffered loss and somebody passed away. Another person talks about how they lost their job. Another person talks about how they were injured, and so on and so on. And the monk says, you're absolutely right. None of those things you deserved. And you're right in what you say. However, I noticed that no one in this room mentioned anything good. And his point was that we seem to feel as if nothing bad should happen, but we deserve everything good. And actually, what I took from that story was that you end up believing that you deserve the life you're born into. If you're born into a rich family, or you get a good job, or you pass this test, that you deserve that. But when you don't deserve it, you know? So be grateful for the things that are given to you without even any effort at all. You know, if you win the lottery, do you deserve it? I don't know, you know? And I loved that story, and it reminded me of
it. Yeah, it's powerful. I've never heard it, but wow, really powerful.
It got me as well. And it actually, the reason I remember it is from what you were just saying, you know, that it really does accurately describe exactly what you said.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm so, so grateful for your time.
Thank you.
Can you please tell everybody that will be listening where they can find you?
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Johnny, for going so deep with some of this. And these are the sorts of podcasts that I love, that it does, you know, we're just speaking from the heart, and, you know, there's no notes or I know you've had notes of questions, but, you know, Johnny asked me before, did I want to know some of the questions? I was like, no, just go and fire away. So thank you. And thank you to every single one of you.
I'll say thank you for your trust, because not hearing the questions, I could have written anything. tell people where they can find you.
So you can connect with me. We've got two websites. So KikiKirbyCoaching.co.uk, KikiKirbyConsultancy.co.uk, and you can find me on LinkedIn, which is Kiki Santon, or on Facebook, Kiki Kirby Coaching, on Instagram, and then on with our podcast, which is the Kiki Kirby Podcast, Evolving in a Heart-Centered Way. So that's where you can find us. I'm regularly on those channels myself. So I'd love to connect with you if whatever I've shared here has resonated with you. If there's something that you want to ask a bit more, as Johnny's gone deeper, but you want to ask anything more, then please reach out and ask. But I've loved being on your podcast. I love your values. And thank you for reaching out, because I've learned so much from you just in the short space of time that we've known each other. And I'm excited to see where we both go. I love your humbleness, and I love just... just all that you've shared with me too. So I can't wait to interview you.
I feel like I should be scared now.
And remember, I come from recruitment and HR, so I'll be asking you like lots of tough questions. No, I'm joking.
Listen, it'll be an absolute pleasure. It'd be an honor to be on your podcast. I'd love that. Thank you so much. I'll treasure this, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yes, bye-bye everybody.
Take care.
What a great episode. That was such a great conversation. I really did enjoy that. Kiki, in my opinion, is a coaching treasure and a true, true credit to the industry. I want to say a sincere thank you to you, Kiki, and I very much look forward to catching up with you really, really soon. If you got some value from today's episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a platform of your choice. That's all from me today. To keep up to date on future episodes, guests, and additional content on YouTube and other social media platforms, please give me a follow on social media by searching The Self-Development Coach. Life Talk now has its own Twitter account and can be found at Life Talk UK. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of Life Talk, The Self-Development Podcast.